Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the VBS network. I just got off a plane very, very late last night from Mexico, and I'm heading out again here shortly to another location, which I'm not even going to talk about. So I don't like to tell people where I'm going and when I'm going to be there. But you'll probably hear me broadcasting from some of these places. Definitely on the move and doing some amazing things right now on the planet. It's pretty intense. I know a lot of people want an update on that, and we're not going to go into that too deep about, you know, the global reset and all the other things, but it's on and it's happening, and on the highest levels, you know, the banksters are running, you know, so we can clean it up on the highest levels, we can clean it up on the lowest levels, you know, and get things straightened out, which is what we're going to talk about a little bit today on the show. But we've got Costa Macarius, and he's the founder of online ESET, Let's Talk Community. It's got over 11,000 members and I think it's 100 plus countries. And it teaches everyday people to make their own personal contact with benevolent star people, and many of whom are visiting this planet as we speak. And so we've got his wife, Hollis, who's with us. She's a psychic, clairvoyant, and clairaudient teacher and healer. We've got Mark Sims, and he's an entrepreneur with Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. He's an alumnus of the Eastern Michigan University and Harvard Business School. And he had a life-altering experience since and has been participating in CE5 contact. He's currently at Standing Rock and doing intention for contact there at Standing Rock. And so, without any further ado, welcome everybody to the show.
Thank
Great
you.
Great to be here.
You know, I think this is so...
Hello.
All right. So is that Mark? We've got Mark on too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is Mark Sims. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. My connection will probably be, you know, intermittent in terms of, you know, clear voice, but this is as best as I can do. So I'll be quiet and let you continue.
Great. Yeah, I know it's very hard there. Tashina was up here. We did a galactic medicine wheel and raised a lot of money for Standing Rock. We've been very involved in getting this information out to the people. And, you know, it's funny, too, is I've always prayed for a big mothership to just show up there with its shields up and just park right over them, you know.
That's what I'm asking for, too.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe if we all join together and do as a collective, we can, you know, I think that's what it's all about. I know Costa would agree and probably Hollis as well that, you know, if we get enough people to unite and request help and assistance in these areas that we will get it. And there's going to be some amazing things unfold.
I totally agree, James. That's what we're all about. This is a group effort. And Standing Rock has been, just recently a place to coalesce a lot of our efforts around because it is such a powerful situation there. Standing Rock represents kind of the worst behavior being done to Native Americans and to all of us by the corporate oligarchy really worldwide. So it's a deep symbol of what they want to suppress and they're, like I said, they're bad behavior, but at the same time, it's bringing together so many more of us who are exhibiting, I think, the better part of our natures individually and collectively to help Standing Rock in so many ways.
Yeah. You know, interesting. If you look at the big picture, you know, like I try to like take the next level up, and look at things, and I was looking at Standing Rock, you know, and it's a major healing situation there. It's a chance for the Native Americans to heal the transgressions of the past and look at it and release the past. It's a chance for, you know, all people to stand up for what's right, you know, and make the right moves here. And it's also a symbol of an end of these oligarchies and the rule over us. This is the pivotal point here. That if people stand up and say enough's enough, and put an end to it here, it's gonna just firestorm. And I think they know it. I think that's why they're so scared and bringing out everything they can to stop this from, you know, to stop the protesters, you know, from stopping the pipeline. But if anybody has any comments on that, let's see if we can get Mark. Mark, do we still be up online here?
Yeah, I'm still here. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm aware that there's probably a delay. So when I start talking, there's a 2 to 3 second delay between when I start talking and you probably hear me. So I'm going to try to speak in long spurts, but also be mindful of how much time I'm taking. So let me just give you an update on at Ground Zero. I concur with all of you and what you're saying about this being the epicenter of this world. This is the belly of the beast, you know, the jaws of the beast that we're in. I'm experiencing it firsthand. I'm witnessing this atrocious law enforcement, which really are not legitimate law enforcement people. I respect the police greatly. I have relatives that are in law enforcement. These are mercenaries. These are terrible people that are hired based on their ability to follow orders, on their viciousness, on their ruthlessness to other human beings. And they are the ones being recruited and hired by the oil and gas industry, by Doppel, to go and confront the peaceful protectors of the water here. And they are, it's the ugliest thing that you could witness in humanity, the way that these people are behaving. I've seen it with my own eyes. We have video, for instance, of people kneeling in prayer, being peaceful, and they are kneeling in prayer in front of the police, or they're not police, they're mercenaries in their riot gear, and they are being maced, they're being gassed, and then, because they won't move, they are literally being targeted by rubber bullets and shot, point blank range. And these, they call it non-lethal weapons, you know, non-lethal ammo. But at point blank range, and we're talking 20 to 30 feet away, they are taking aim and shooting these people on their knees. And they are, and you know, it's very dangerous. And we have this on film. These are criminals. We are going to prosecute them in our prison, and the world is watching. And this is just the worst behavior. And so I'm so proud to be here to support these people, these brave, brave protectors of water. They're fighting for their own land, but they're also fighting for our water. Water is life. Without water, without clean water, what do we have? It's incredible bravery. I'll stop and let you take over.
Yeah, I want to apologize, folks, for the connection here. I know it does sound like we're underwater, but this information is so important to get out, and it is very hard to get any kind of a connection out of Standing Rock. They are using jamming equipment, and they're doing all they can to stop any kind of coverage getting out of what's really happening there. And I know people firsthand that have been there and have come here, and they've come to the ranch, and it is true. They are using rubber bullets, beanbag bullets. They're using, bear repellent. Everything. The gas is spraying the point range. Now, these are elders and people praying, and they're beating them with clubs and putting dogs on them and everything else. And you know, this is on their land. I mean, they're running a pipeline right through their, you know, ancestral burial grounds and things like that, with absolutely no respect. Are running it right through the rivers there, and everybody knows there's major spills going on, there's explosions going on. These pipelines aren't safe. They have a history of exploding and leaking and spilling and just totally destroying the environment. As Mark was saying, when we don't have any water left, we're toast, basically. And the water we have now that are going to most cities have 600 to 800 carcinogenic chemicals and other things in them. So with the arsenic and everything else, you know, they said, yeah, we're going to pump out of the river. Well, your rivers are totally poisoned, you know, and into the arc that comes from mining and other operations, which again take care of the one who's safe. So it all goes back to a major standoff. We have the best of the best, and we have the worst of the worst making a stand, and the clarity is getting stronger, and we're all having a chance to see what we're going to do. And I really hope that, that we can all unite here. I know some things going on right now that I can't really talk about on a much higher level, where certain banks are being taken over and certain CEOs are being arrested and things are changing. I know that that there's a letter from Wells Fargo asking the elders to meet, I guess, with the Sioux, the Dakota Sioux elders, about what's happening there. I think they're one of the major, they have a lot invested in the pipeline. Do you know much about that?
This is Costa. No, I don't know about that. I mean, I have heard they have some invested, and so that's not surprising. The financing, getting loans for these big energy companies to do things is something that's pretty normal. So, of course, the banks are involved. I wanted to just add a little note to what you were saying about the water, James, and that is, if I'm correct, I read reports that the residents of Bismarck, which is nearby, I think 40 miles away or something from Standing Rock, the residents there had rejected the pipeline because they were afraid that it would poison their water. So this was an example of white people being able to use the law and reject the safety of their water, and instead, literally now with guns pointed at their heads, forcing the Indians, the Native Americans on their own land, to accept the water, to accept the pipeline carrying the water that the white people didn't want in Bismarck. If that report is true, that's egregious. It's horrible, and it's more of the same of privilege, the white privilege being able to do that.
It is true. It's interesting. You know, a lot of people know this, but you know, my great grandmother was Cherokee, and we actually have her photographs and the tribal cards to prove it. But unlike somebody else we won't talk about, but who claims to be Cherokee, but. that's a whole nother story. I know you know what we're talking about.
I can read your mind, James.
But anyway, so I have two parts, because we're like scared Cherokee, Scotch Irish, you know, and we're troublemakers on both sides of the fence. But anyway, my heart goes out to them. We have a lot of elders come here to the ranch and do ceremony. And we've done a lot of sweat lodges and different types of ceremonies here. And a lot of the Dakota chiefs have come here, you know, and have done ceremony. And we've always tried to hold that space, that sacred space. And you know, when you're holding that sacred space and doing that kind of prayer work and things like that, it's a universal thing. You know, it's incredible. And for the complete disrespect, you know, people showing up there with, you know, guns and chemicals and spraying. Now I heard they're flying a small plane, like a crop duster, and spraying the people there as well. So, I mean, it's biological warfare going on there on every level, in chemical and biological warfare. I mean, all of these things that they're doing there are banned, you know, by all kinds of treaties, you know, UN treaties, things like that. They're breaking every law, every law enforcement law in the book. And I'm just wondering, you know, I'm sure all this is being documented and cataloged, you know, when push comes to shove in the future, when all this comes out, you know, just like Waco and all the other things and 911, all these things are going to surface. They can't hide it forever. This is going to have an extreme backlash on the people involved.
Well, just to give you an example of how it can't be hidden, I'm very active in spreading the word about Standing Rock on social communities. And I've seen one video that was made by unify.org that is a beautiful piece of work, very evocative, very truthful, that just tells the story, about 4 minutes or so, I think, of Standing Rock. Yesterday, that particular video exceeded 25 million views in less than a week. And you can just imagine this is how the word is getting out in alternative media. We are being forced to be our own media, which is a good thing, because we're learning how to do this and could probably do it better. But that particular video, 25 million views and counting, thousands by the hour, is getting the word out and seeding this information in the consciousness of so many people all over the world, who will no longer say that they never knew or didn't know, because we do know. The awareness is rising now, massively.
Now, December 4th is your next big global synchronized prayer, you know, I guess at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Mountain Time. But at your last global prayer, you had something like, 228,000 people join from 30 different countries. Is that correct?
That's true. That was organized by Unify.org. Maybe Mark could speak to that, because he was there too, and he's as well. He will be there for the one on Sunday at 10 a.m. that you mentioned, Central Time.
Great.
That's right. I'm here, and I, as I often have to do to maintain my phone connections, because there's all sorts of technology where they're trying to interrupt my cellular communications. I've moved to another location. I think you're going to be able to hear me better, because I'm getting much better reception, and I can hear you better. Is this a better? Are
yes,
you able to hear
yes.
me clearly?
Coming in very clear. So
way better.
Okay.
Really good connection.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, let's hope this lasts for a little bit longer. Okay.
How are things happening?
So, yes.
Now, I mean, are we okay now, or is there another big? I know, because the veterans are coming, and I know they're going to do a big push before the veterans get there to try to wrap things up, which probably isn't going to work out too well. But, what's happening there now? Are they massing more forces? Are they becoming more aggressive?
No, not that I'm aware of. In terms of the aggressiveness of the mercenary forces that have been hired to, intimidate and injure people, the peaceful protectors of the water. Sunday on November 20th was that terrible, terrible, heinous event that took place at Turtle Island, which was where they were shooting people with rubber bullets, and these peaceful people that were literally kneeling in prayer at the barbed wire barrier that the police had set days before. And I was mentioning earlier how we have now video evidence showing policemen or these hired mercenaries, law enforcement mercenaries of the oil and gas of DAPL, shooting people on their knees in prayer at point blank range with rubber bullets. It is absolutely horrendous. The torture and the criminal behavior of these people. They are hired for their ruthlessness. They are mercenaries. They are not legitimate law enforcement people. They're simply given a uniform and the weaponry. And they're attacking peaceful people, totally peaceful people. And so I've seen it with my own eyes. But we haven't seen anything at that level, and I think it's largely due to the outcry by the public that the world is watching. But the exciting thing is we have over 2,000 veterans. We've heard numbers anywhere from 2,500 to 3,500 veterans that are on their way to Standing Rock to. And they will be marching and taking the front line in some kind of stand against these mercenaries. And how that's going to be a very, very high tension, high profile event. And that's going to be taking place on December 5th. Now, the day before, we have the Pray with Standing Rock. And this will be led again by one of the elders. In a live stream, and we encourage everybody who can participate that to please participate. We know all on this show the power of group intention and placing our consciousness in solidarity, and that has tremendous positive effects. And so we call on everyone to join us in prayer wherever you are. Bring that loving intention to our front lines here, and it would be greatly appreciated. My own uncle from Vermont is coming. He left today with two of his veteran friends, and they're going to be sleeping in a teepee with me tomorrow night. I have my own teepee down in the Red Lightning Camp, and so we're going to go old school and do it with our brothers and sisters right on the ground. So it's very exciting.
Just you talking about that, it's like choking me up. I'm getting tears almost, but you know, to see that unification happening, that's going to be such a healing process. And you know, it's probably going to put an end to this whole nonsense, you know, once that happens.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but I think the veterans were requested to come in uniform. Now, if that's true, I mean, you can just imagine like the visual of this, thousands of these veterans showing up wearing the uniforms of the different services that they were in, confronting these mercenaries. It's the kind of high drama that I suppose Hollywood directors would just lust after to be able. But the thing is, this is a real situation. This is real life with real consequences. And I tell you, my hat is off to all the brave veterans, to all the brave Native Americans on the ground there who are enduring this. It's not a Hollywood movie. This is real life with real danger and a sensitive situation. But yet, it's, my God, it's bringing out the highest of bravery and courage that I cannot just imagine from those on the ground who are resisting all the tyrannical oppressors there.
And for everybody who's listening to this, you can join in from wherever you are by sending your prayers, your love, your light, your protection, asking for any of your, if you are connected to any extraterrestrials who can help, asking for them to be there. A really good thing to do is to use Google Earth to visualize the location and literally visualize where you want this energy to go.
Mark could probably talk about a special event that he's holding with his group on Saturday night that he was mentioning to me earlier. Mark?
Right. So my I have a group of CE5 experiencers, senior meditators, and we have some other very good meditators that are excited to join me tomorrow night. And we're actually going to have some of the natives here do a unifying dance for our CE5. And then once they finish that dance, we're going to go into the CE5 protocol and lead that right at ground zero at Standing Rock. I'm very excited about it. I have my night vision camera system, so I'll be recording. Amar's going to be here, the director of Sirius, the movie with Stephen Greer, his first movie. He is here, and he'll be involved. And so it's very, very exciting. And if everybody could join us in that intention during the CE5, we'll be starting around 8 p.m. Mountain Time. And we're Central Time, I believe, in North Dakota. We're Central Time. So we'll be around 8 p.m. To 9 p.m. And we'll be going, you know, for 3 hours roughly. So all of those of you that are listening to this program right now, I believe it will, you can join us right after the end of this program. And we will be doing our CE5 meditation. It's going to be beautiful.
Now, wait a second. So it's really funny. Every time you give the time of your CE5 meditation, it's almost like somebody flips a switch and cuts you off. So what time would that be that you're doing the meditation?
We're doing the meditation at 8 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, we got it. We got it that time. So it's funny how that happens, you know.
Yeah.
No coincidence there.
No coincidence. And just for people, that's 6 p.m. Pacific time for some of us and a little bit later on the East Coast. But
9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, because I know that those of you from the ET Let's Talk community who are listening to this, I encourage you to join in to what Mark was just describing and let your networks know to join in as well. We know that it's short notice, but hey, that hasn't stopped us before. This is the age of the internet, so we can, you know, all rally round on short notice and just send powerful protective energy to Standing Rock, as Mark was saying, and possibly there may be some ET assistance that is available there in some way. That's what we do with CE5s. We contact, connect, and interact with the Star Nations. And so this is one of those instances where we could use all the help that we can get.
Yeah, and this is going to go out. It's going to be advertised to like about 20,000 people immediately. It's already gotten out there, and then that goes into subgroups. And from my understanding, it's going to go out to millions of people. So there'll be millions of people that'll be aware of this radio show at the same time that you're doing the C5 experiment there as well. So it's going to be a big synchronistic thing going on. There's going to be a lot of energy coming your way. I'll do all I can to talk to my friends, you know, my Star Nation friends, to see if they can bring something over there that
wonderful, wonderful. And James, you know, something I didn't realize until a couple of weeks ago, right before I came out to Standing Rock, was that the Lakota people really believe that they come from the Pleiades. They are star people, and so this idea of connecting to the ETs through universal consciousness is very much consistent and in line with their own practices. And so we're just joining them, really. It's really wonderful to be doing a CE5 with these people. And when we talk to them, they're like, we want to be a part of that. This is the kind of thing we do in our own ways and using our own traditions. And so it's very cool.
Yeah, it is. You know, the Hawaiians also point to the Pleiades. The Philippines point to the Pleiades. The Cherokee Nation points to the Pleiades. And I just got back from Australia a little while ago, and I found the Aboriginal elders also point to the Pleiades, and they have the whole history of Earth written in stone about the Star Nation interventions and the landings and the genetic manipulations, everything, the whole history of Earth. And they've tried to suppress this for years, even to the point of trying to bomb these stone formations as a target practice thing. Stopped, luckily. And we just did a documentary, it's East Eddie Down Under, that covers this whole thing. And I've got the elders, you know, the elders of the Raven tribe, you know, it's Ulukai Brendan Murray and some of these other people on talking about, you know, the ancient stories about the Pleiades. And you know, they say Uluru actually came from space. It came from the space and punched in. It actually came from the Pleiades, according to their stories. So it's quite interesting, this the Pleiadian connection. And according to the information that I got there, is that the first ones were the Anunnaki, the Lyrians, were the first ones that came. And then the second wave were the Pleiadians, and they started the colonies of Atlantis and Lemuria. And then other star nations join them. So it's interesting, that whole history is right there in stone. You know, it's called Gospel Glyphs in Australia.
Well, that's really interesting. Very, very interesting. I wasn't aware of all that. I'm certainly aware of the Anunnaki story, very aware of that. But, you know, all these connections to the Pleiades is just further confirmation over the last 4 years of my deep research into this area, which I knew very little about. And James, you and I met in Mount Shasta 2 summers ago for the first time. And I, you may recall, I was the guy who brought a bunch of the Mayan artifacts that depict interactions between what are clearly ET beings and humans. Etched on these ancient artifacts. I've been collecting these artifacts for quite a while now, and I have over 300 of them, and I only brought about a dozen to that event, but that's where I first met you. Okay. But, you know, for your listeners who don't know my story, I tell it on YouTube. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, I posted a YouTube video of my face-to-face ET contact experience. which changed my life profoundly. Among other things, changed my path to one of enlightenment and the truth about our history and the afterlife, what we truly are, that we're effectively immortal beings in the physical realm through different lifetimes. And it's been a fascinating journey for myself to learn the truth about what I am and my purpose and what we are all doing here and where we come from. And this story, consistently through the esoteric literature I follow and have been reading, and through these ancient cultures, they consistently point to the Pleiades, and it's just fascinating to me. And I'm so blessed to have had a face-to-face ET contact experience. And if anybody would like to learn more about that experience, I encourage you to go to YouTube and just do a search on Tejbar. That was the name of the ET I met. That's spelled Tezjbar. Just Google that or put it into YouTube, and you'll learn all about my story.
Yeah, it's interesting how the ancient names have all these weird spellings to them. I know I have a one I work with named Tosamara, and it's TXOS is how you spell it. And I've been noticing that a lot of these ancient ones, they spell their names with a lot of consonants, you know, and it's not like our language at all. It's a whole different language.
And I think echoing what Mark is saying, that many of us, and I hear from a lot of people in the ET Let's Talk community who come to this ET contact work, I hear a lot of their stories, and the stories are filled with sometimes up close and personal experiences like Mark had, or maybe flyovers from craft or encounters in woods or something. Everybody seems to have had something that nudged them or maybe pushed them into doing more contact. And it's just amazing. I met Mark when he was first telling his story, and it was just a wonderful immersive experience that you just could not get enough of as I listened to him tell about the mentoring that he received. And so I just want to underline that the fact that, you know, everyday people can have this kind of experience, you know, and that's what we're all about in producing for people, because this is our connection. As you guys have been saying, you know, this is not just an Earth that was self-contained. It was visited and kind of manufactured in a way by other star nations. So knowing our history is really critical, because it really means knowing ourselves. And now we're in a time where we're reconnecting and rediscovering and becoming aware. Situations like here at Standing Rock are really bringing it to a head for many of us.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the elders are looking over. You know, proof the elders looking over is really funny, because when I was with Ulukai, Brendan Murray, the elder there, you know, he said, yeah, some guy from Dakota, he couldn't remember, yeah, came here, you know, and we talked about the ancient past and everything else. And I'm sitting there talking to him, but I can't remember his name. And I turn around, look at him, I go, it was Wallace Black Elk. And he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, that was him. That was him. And I said, I can feel him right now, because I spent time with him and he shared all the prophecies with me and everything. And it was funny how they're still orchestrating things. If we just tune in, our ancestors are still with us. They're still orchestrating things. Validate the other things. We do a lot of transpersonal counseling here. And when we work on people, it comes up, you know, that they had other lives in the Pleiades and the Orion Council of Light and the Andromedans and Sirion and other things. And when you activate those memories in people, they have a huge opening, a huge awakening. And they move, you know, then the game is stepped up, you know, and then they realize they're here for a bigger purpose and here for the awakening and healing process.
It's definitely a time for all hands on deck.
Yeah. So what do you, maybe Hollis, you can give us a woman's perspective on this. How do you feel about what's happening?
Well, you know, I can't in any way claim to speak for all women. What I would say is, number one, why is anybody surprised that this is even happening? This is, we need to pray for the soul of America, because America, this has been done, yes, this has been done in our name, has been doing this all over the world for generations. And why is anybody surprised that it finally came home, including the mercenaries? They're the same mercenaries that have been used all over the world. And we need to pray for the soul of America to clean up this stuff. I mean, yes, God bless everybody who's out in the field, really. Mm-hmm. And this is our stand. And I also, this is kind of a separate but related thing, and I haven't gotten a lot of information about it, but I was given to understand this morning that the election recount is another manifestation of the same dynamic that is going on at Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. It's the light trying to come through.
Yeah, there's some interesting things going on. I think, you know, it's too much to go into, but I think there's a series of steps happening here. And you know, it's like the whole thing, the war on terrorists, you know, we created the terrorists, you know, we're the big terrorists on the planet. If you don't believe that, look at what's going on at Standing Rock. You know, it's the perfect example of global tyranny and terrorism in the United States, and how they, you know, the police departments and everything else have been usurped, and they no longer function in the capacity they were given. You know, they're going totally against their mandate. So, it's a classic example to me of the big picture and what's going on. But, you know, the good news is there's things happening behind the scenes that people don't know about, and they can't really be talked about right now. And I've been very much involved in that on many different levels, to the point of knowing the key players. And, you know, the Republic is being restored right now, and there's a whole new monetary system coming in. And there's going to be a whole new, when that happens, there's going to be a whole new judicial system. Everything is going to change after that. And, you know, State Inc. is going out the door. It's so corrupt. It's already trashed. Basically, it's bankrupt. It's done. And so when these things get in effect, you know, people are going to have more rights. There is going to be, universal law will be more of a reflection in the laws of the day. And so things are going to shift around. But right now we're in the middle of that process where the chaos is coming up and the shifts are happening. And now I always tell people, nothing is as you see it. I mean, just take a deep breath, step back, meditate on something, and you might see that things you thought were really bad are actually, you know, part of a process, and they're actually good, you know, that are happening, and things had to go in that direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, James. And in fact, what's happening is we're experiencing the death throes of an old system. They are against the wall. We need to put on the full court press because they are desperate. And if we continue this, if we continue to work together, come together and focus our energy on these key points, you know, the epicenters of where this conflict is happening, especially here at Standing Rock, we're going to take them down. I can sense it. The people here can sense it. We're all optimistic. We're all, you know, looking at each other with really optimistic faces. You know, we're yelling victory. We know we're at the gates of victory, and so we just need more and more support. So please spread the word like you're doing, James. This is so wonderful that you're bringing it more attention, a whole new community to focus on this. This is where we can really put the stake into the heart of the dragon, because it's they call it the black snake. We need to cut the head off of this black snake, and that's what we're doing. And we're doing it the right way, through peace and through love. And these people are even praying for the very people who are shooting them with rubber bullets. And so it's a beautiful thing to witness.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, too, just to comment on that, it's like, I mean, I've held devices in my hand that are size of a pie plate that have 9 coils and put out 25,000 watts. And other people know about this, but they went about it the wrong way to bring it out. But it is going to come out. And that, you know, with the Keshe technology and everything else, this is all coming out everywhere. We don't need this black snake anymore. I mean, that's going to cut its head off when the free energy comes out, you know, and the cures for disease, because that black snake is also, you know, the war on disease profiteers. You know, these guys are behind almost all the diseases and the wars and everything. And I've told people for years, and people go, oh, you're nuts, you're crazy. And I said, you have no idea how dark it gets when you find the ladder of power and wealth. You know, all the institutions, even the religious institutions, when you go up that ladder, it gets darker and darker. And then it goes into ritual abuse and you know, Satan worshiping and, you know, sacrifice, everything. It's just, you know, and people used to go, oh, you're crazy. Now it's all out. It's all coming out now. So it's an amazing time to be in because, you know, now we're finding out that we thought we were crazy. We're actually right, you know.
Isn't that great? If we just held on long enough. One thing I like to tell people is that the best way to create our future, the best way to predict our future is to create it. And what you're talking about now is we're watching the death throes of the old system. You know, we have an opportunity to visualize and organize and get together on what is it that we want now. Imagine the jackboot of the the tyrannical powers no longer being on the neck of humanity. You know, imagine all the creative energy of human beings that will be freed up when free energy, for example, does get introduced and reduces the labor of so many of us and makes a more equitable economic situation across the planet. You know, half the planet goes to bed hungry every night, and that's a number you cannot even really wrap your mind around, you know, 3.5 billion people. But imagine what you guys are saying, you know, in this new world that we get to create now after the black snake is gone, where free energy releases us from just looking down only at the mud at our feet and allows us to look, raise our heads and look at the stars instead. That creative human potential is going to create a world that nobody can imagine now, you know, of amazing wonders. And it's just a real privilege to be working with folks like you who are on the broadcast and the people out in the audience who have the same vision to create this new world. It's a real privilege. And this is what we came for.
You know, going back to Wallace Blackhawk, when he shared the prophecies with me, I'm really feeling good, and I should share this again because he talked about that. He said, you know, there is a beast, and the beast is 1,000 miles wide. He said that represents its reign. And he said the beast is all-consuming. It just wants to consume and control and dominate everything. And they said, finally, in the end, when you think there's no more hope and everything's just, you know, going to pieces, you know, said the beast consumes itself. And then the star nations return, and they heal the earth and bring it, you know, bring their technologies, and then we have 1,000 years or a couple thousand years of peace or something like that. So, you know, I'm kind of shortening it, but it's pretty much what he talked about. You know, prophecies are happening right now. The beast is consuming itself. It can't feed itself anymore. It's imploding. And now we're at that point now where the star nation is very close, you know, to where the star nations can come in and assist us, you know, in turning this planet around.
Absolutely. One of my favorite big signs that the water protectors carry to the front lines is this large blue sign that is the picture of depicting a snake in a figure eight that's eating its own tail. It's a black snake that's eating its own tail. And it's so true what you're saying. It's what's going on. It's consuming itself. And we need to cut off the head of this snake because it will consume all of us if we allow it, if we continue to give away our power to this entity that is the power that's been running things on this earth out of greed and out of, you know, lust and all the things that, you know, keep us imprisoned.
You know, speaking of Trump, too, it's like, you know, Trump wants to bring more jobs and everything back to America and make America great. Well, you know, let's try outfitting all the cars with the water technologies. They're here now.
Yep.
We run our cars on water. We don't have to give up our SUVs or our cars. We can start retrofitting and put all these people to work and then start building new cars with the other, you know, energy technology, which we have right now. It's on the planet and it's everywhere, basically. And there's no reason why we can't totally restore and clean up the planet. And why not be the global leader in bringing in these technologies and these new healing technologies and everything else, and have the best medical system on the planet, have the best ecosystem on the planet, you know, put people to work just cleaning up the environment and restoring the environment. I mean, if you want jobs, you know, these elders put, what, $600 trillion they're investing into global, you know, the global humanitarian projects and things like that. I mean, there you go. The money's there, everything. Let's get on with it. Let's do it. Let's forget about these pipelines. Need it. We haven't needed it since Tesla.
You know, yeah. Yeah, that's all true. That's why there have been thousands of patents from various kinds of free energy, zero point energy inventors that have been sequestered. You know, people have been killed over their inventions, bought off, threatened, you know, you name it. And you, as you see what's happening at Standing Rock, you understand that that black snake has been willing to murder and kill in order to keep its power. And as you guys are saying, in the end, the joke is on it. It will wind up eating itself. And that's because we are no longer buying into its system. When it cannot feed on us and on our energies, because we're looking into the future and creating something else, it has nothing else to feed on but itself. So I would say we just keep our vision and keep working for what we want, and time is on our side.
Yeah, and I would just qualify one other thing, Costa, that the joke is on all of us if we allow it to continue to consume itself, because we are intertwined with that. And so, you know, it's not just consuming itself, it's consuming the entire world. It's unsustainable, the practices that have been put in place by the systems that are in place. So it's a joke on all of us. And what we're doing, part of this awakening process, is to realize that we got to cut the head off the snake. And that's the only way. I don't see it consuming itself. I see putting a stake through its heart. That's what needs to be done by all of us that are awake and aware of what's at stake here. No pun intended, but we need to drive a stake through this thing's heart. We need to cut off its head. And we have momentum here at Standing Rock. It's a beautiful thing to see the people coming in daily, this city with all these teepees growing organically. These are people who are awake, who want to be a part of a movement and part of the solution, see themselves as empowered. And we, you know, the more the merrier. It's just a beautiful thing, and all these veterans that are coming is like a miracle. It is truly a face-off of epic proportions, and I am so blessed to be here to witness this on December 4th and December 5th, and so please join us for PrayWithStandingRock.com. You can go there, you can check it out, and be a part of this, you know, historic meditation that's got people from all over the world who are aware of what's going on, and that they can be a part of something historic.
You know, another thing too is that you'll find out that this snake, basically the snake, what drives the snake is pure unbridled greed and lust for power, but it's basically money. And when we stop being willing participants, you know, with the snake and quit feeding the snake, it is going to implode. It is going to, you know, fall apart. I think the best way to drive a stake through its heart is to starve it to where it can't even function. and then put the stake in. But, you know, people need to start, you know, voting with your dollar, basically, and what you buy and things like that. And realize that it's not about creating jobs and all this other stuff and being enslaved through dependency and continuing in that program. It's about freeing people, creating jobs that actually free people to do what brings them joy, to do humanitarian things, to clean up the planet. And because that's the priority now. It's no longer, you know, wealth and amassing wealth to, you know, how much gold does it take to establish self-worth? I mean, it isn't the gold that establishes your worth. It's within, you know, your spirituality is your worth. But that's changing now. So I think people are realizing now that, you know, the amassing the gold and the fancy boats and cars and houses is not really the goal. You know, the goal is, who are you?
Right, James, absolutely. And I want to say that one of the things that you and me and the listeners can do to begin implementing this starving of the black snake is by moving your money out of banks and into local credit unions. Support your local credit unions. These banksters are part of the problem. They're, you know, in cahoots and one of the same of the oil and gas and DAPL. The DAPL, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline organization is actually owned by Energy Transfer Partners, which is funded by 38 banks around the world. Mm-hmm. There's a list online, and I don't know the actual URL. There are many places you can go, but do a Google search on Energy Transfer Partners and what the banks are that are involved. And if you have an account with one of those banks, take your money out. Go put it in a local union. And the other thing that I have done is downloaded this wonderful app for a smartphone called Buycott. It's BUYCOTT. And it allows you to scan as you shop in the grocery store for the products that you buy. And it'll tell you whether that product is part of, you know, is something that supports one of these big companies that's part of the oligarchy, or if it's a safe product that, you know, is consistent with your consciousness and, you know, keeping the money flowing to those businesses that are really aware and not part of the problem, right?
I agree. Yeah, with Monsanto and everything else. I've done a lot of work in Hawaii and in Maui with stopping, you know, Monsanto there, and it's done really well. But again, you know, the people spoke, the people rose up, said, "No, you're out of here." And you know what happens? The government steps in and says, "Oh no, you can't do that. You know, you all voted against this, but you can't do that, you know, because we're the law, you know." And I go, "No, the people are the law. You know, you guys need to wake up and smell the coffee here."
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about ready to happen.
I also want to point people, we're talking about people power right now, and it's power that we can wield in so many different ways. What you described, Mark, in industrialized nations, using the power of your dollar or your pound or whatever is awesome. And as people come together, these boycotts can have a profound effect. And again, this is all about people power. And I want to mention avaaz.org as another organization, and that's AVAAZ.org. Avaaz means voice in many different languages, or song. They have 44 million members in every country on earth who come together out of their pure altruism to fight and help each other in their battles, like in their backyards, whether it's fighting a Monsanto coming into town with a factory or fighting corporations that are trying to clear cut an old growth forest in the Amazon, whatever. It's humanity from all its walks of life joining together at avaaz.org to take a lot of these actions that have won them a lot of amazing victories. So if you're feeling depressed, like it's only you and 10 of your friends who care about the course of the world, it just isn't true. You can go to avaaz.org and find, like I said, 44 million other people who have the values that you do. And they don't take any money on that website from corporations or governments or commercial interests. It's totally funded, a dollar at a time from all of the members, so that it can stay, you know, pure in the struggle there. And that's what I want to leave people with today, is that there is a sense of optimism here. We do have the power in our many, many millions, hundreds of millions. And the best thing that the elite groups can do is to try and separate us and divide us and make us feel powerless, because then you divide and then you conquer. But that is changing. And people are coming together. And Standing Rock, again, is another example of people from all over. Many different tribes are uniting again in a way that they haven't done, I think, in more than a century at Standing Rock. And other allies have been coming in, and Mark has been seeing that from all sides. I'm sure, Mark, that has to be really inspirational, just seeing the diversity of people coming in there to join forces for a common struggle.
It is incredibly inspirational. You know, every morning at Standing Rock, they have a ceremony and then an orientation for people who are new to the camp to just understand, the culture there and how to be respectful and how to, participate in an effective way to be a positive member of the community that's there at Standing Rock. But this wonderful ceremony, the other morning, they announced that there were over 400 nations, people from over 400 countries, I believe I have that correct, from around the world at Standing Rock. They had 10,000 people there during the week of Thanksgiving. It is such an incredible experience, and I'm so honored to be a part of it. Anybody who wants to have one of those historic experiences that will last a lifetime should consider coming to Standing Rock and being a part of this. And, you should do your homework a little bit. It's harsh conditions, but once you get here, you'll be cared for, you'll be guided, you'll be educated and supported so that you can be a proactive and productive member of this beautiful community and help make a difference in the world. And this is, there is no better place in the world that you could be than here at Standing Rock. It's epic.
Now, I know people can send money to GoFundMe because Red Warrior Camp is one. That's one that we've been sending people to. I'm sure there's other if you just, go in there. What's the best way people can help that maybe can't come to Standing Rock, but they could, send a donation or whatever?
Yeah, there's Unify is putting together a master website where there will be different projects that will be that individuals can donate to that affect what's happening here at Standing Rock. This has been in the works right now, and I think we're just a day or two away. So if you go to unify.org, they will have a link there or maybe even a landing page where they will direct people to the place where they can then go and contribute to one of the many projects, the critical projects that are going on here. So I would suggest everyone go there. There is also the main place for people to donate, the Ochetti campsite, and I don't know how to spell it, and I forget the actual pronunciation, but it's the main camp, the place where donations are being made for the main camp. But if you go to Unify, they will direct people to that site as well.
All right. We'll have all that information on the show. We've hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I can't thank you enough, Costa, Hollis and Mark, for coming on the show. And this is going to spread far and wide and keep up the great work. And I'm sure we'll be working together in the future.
Thank you very much, James. This has been an honor.
It sure has, James. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to coming to the Ysetti Ranch. It's been on my list to do for over a year now, and I will be coming soon. I can't wait to participate in your wonderful events there.
Great. Yeah, we'll do a whole show with you on it up here soon. We can cover your path and get on with that. But anyway, I can't thank you enough. We've got to sign off. Unfortunately, we're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network signing off. Get behind Standing Rock. Help them out. They need some help. And this isn't about them. It's about you. It's about all of us. So let's turn this planet around. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.